Thank you, Lauren. Thank you so much for your kind words. And I'm going to apologize in advance. The way I uploaded my slides is not the way anyone else did. So I'm going to have to kind of scroll through because it's a PDF but they're two to a page. Oh. I'm recognizing because I have 18 slides. All right. So thank you all so much for being here. I know that this is a very long conference, but many friendly faces in the audience, so thank you so much. I want to reiterate, the IOM report is really a sentinel report. The finding that the current approach to viral hepatitis is not working is so key and critical. It means that we really need to rethink the way that we have been dealing with hepatitis A, B, and C, but specifically with hepatitis B and C, because they become chronic infections. We really need to be creative and look outside the box with the current economic climate. As Lauren said, I do a lot of work on policy, but it doesn't look good for getting a lot more funding this year. It doesn't look good for really beefing up what we have at the Centers for Disease Control, for surveillance, for testing. You know, we know that we need more funding, but in the absence of getting a whole lot more funding to do what's needed, how can we start to meet the needs of the people that have chronic hepatitis B and C? And I would like to present the opportunity to eliminate viral hepatitis disparities through community health centers. So my objective is to really identify those populations who are at risk that are being served currently in community health centers. These are missed opportunities currently that we can work to identify and then grab the opportunity, seize the day, right? List the activities that could be done, and the IOM specifically lists community health centers as a key element in the federal response to viral hepatitis. Identify a few changes in clinical practice, and then describe the benefits within the Affordable Care Act. There is a primary care medical home, and how actually perfect that model could be for patients with hepatitis B and C. So just couple of things about APCHO, the Association of Asian Pacific Community Health Organizations. Our members are community health centers that serve a majority Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander patients. And our member centers came to APCHO and said, "We're seeing so much hepatitis B. There are so few resources. We don't know what to do about it. Can you help us?" And so we were lucky enough, APCHO was lucky enough to get the funding for a fellowship, and I was actually lucky enough to apply and be chosen to be that fellow. It has given me the opportunity for the past 2 years, and I hope for one more year, to work on policy and really fight for the things that we need to change the face of viral hepatitis. So I know that my colleagues have said some of this before, but I think it's really important to note that 65% of people with chronic hepatitis B are unaware of their infection, and 75% of people with hepatitis C are unaware of their infections. So people are walking around and they have no idea that they have a potentially deadly infection, something that can progress and become, you know, eventually untreatable, unmanageable. However, as Dr. Muir said, we can do something about this. If we identify people early, hepatitis is a winnable battle. If we prevent people in the first place from getting infected by vaccinating them, getting people at risk before they're infected, getting people with hepatitis C tested and treated, we have seen that the long-term outcomes of individuals who have a viral clearance from hepatitis C through the treatments, they're not dying of liver disease. They're not getting liver cancer. We can win this battle. And some of those Hep B and Hep C health disparities, Andrew did such a good job, I don't need to go through it again, but clearly we have major health disparities for both hepatitis B and C. The CDC hepatitis testing recommendations are kind of long, they're very detailed, they're kind of tough to implement in a clinical setting, but if we were testing all of these individuals, we could reduce the number of people who are chronically infected and unaware. And I just want to draw a comparison real quickly to HIV. 20% of people with HIV are unaware of their infection. Right? They've got testing for HIV, they've got services in place for people with HIV. We don't have that for hepatitis B or C, and we need to get people tested and into care. And there's been some pushback on that because doctors don't know what to do once they're diagnosed. So I'm going to talk about hepatitis in community health centers and how we can provide better care for them. This is a list of some of the specific populations that are recommended to receive testing, vaccination, and prevention services. Pregnant women, because we can prevent perinatal hepatitis B, and that program has not been fully implemented. The expansion of that program would potentially eliminate perinatal hepatitis B transmission in the United States. Immigrants are at highest risk for hepatitis B, and although we don't really have a very good surveillance system for hepatitis C, I think that further down the road we'll also find that there are great health disparities among immigrants for hepatitis C as well. People with a history of drug use, as Daniel mentioned earlier, transfusion and transplant recipients who received contaminated blood products before 1992, HIV-positive folks, men who have sex with men, any liver disease patient, right, should get viral hepatitis vaccination and management if they're chronically infected, and then hemodialysis patients because they've been exposed to blood in the past, and many of those folks have not been screened for hepatitis B and C. So specifically, and Dan Church is going to come up in a few minutes and talk a little bit more in detail about the Institute of Medicine report, but there are some very key recommendations from the IOM report, including that we need to increase knowledge and awareness about chronic hepatitis B and C among healthcare providers. They are not screening, they are not educating patients who are tested, and they are not managing those patients or treating them appropriately. We need to immunize people. Again, I think hepatitis B is got a safe and effective vaccine, and we can do a lot more to eliminate transmission. And then hepatitis services delivered by community-based organizations to populations that are at highest risk, like foreign-born. And we've seen some great models out there that really get to individuals who aren't accessing health services elsewhere. So the community-based program support is also so important for getting individuals that aren't accessing health services elsewhere. And then specifically regarding viral hepatitis services, the IOM recommends an expansion of perinatal hepatitis B prevention programs. Many of those programs right now that are in place only assure that the infant gets 3 doses of Hep B vaccine. And while that is wonderful for that infant, for that family to prevent perinatal hepatitis B transmission, they're not reaching out to other individuals in the household to get screened or to get vaccinated. So there's transmission ongoing in these families, but the perinatal Hep B program is really just focusing on the mother and the infant. HRSA, the Health Resources and Services Administration, should provide adequate services to federally funded community health facilities for the provision of comprehensive viral hepatitis services. It says it right there. Community health centers should be doing more about hepatitis B and hepatitis C, and that HRSA and CDC should be collaborating. I mean, the good news is that they're starting to talk about this. There is movement toward collaboration between HRSA and CDC, but we need for that to be happening much more quickly. So this is a really busy slide. I tried to highlight the important things. Community health centers have 8,000 service delivery locations. They're located in the areas of highest need, where we see people with low socioeconomics. They're really put in places that are medically underserved. Providing high-quality, comprehensive, and other health, primary and other health care services. They include behavioral health services, and so for folks who have a history of drug use, any kind of mental health issues, community health centers address those, and they serve a huge proportion of racial and ethnic minorities. I mentioned that the IOM does recognize the critical role, and article by Shin et al. Says health centers are designed to function as medical homes, primary care practices that deliver comprehensive, coordinated care that is tailored to meet the needs of the patient and their community. So those elements include screening, hepatitis B, A and B vaccination, education of the patient so that they know how to stay healthy, so they know how important the medications that they're being given are, evaluation to consider whether they need treatment or just monitoring, and then case management during treatment. And as Dr. Muir mentioned, palliative care or, you know, preparation for transplant. So these are the gaps. Providers don't know. There's no patient education going on right now. No system of support to help those people manage those chronic diseases. And no treatment implementation to speak of in primary care. It's happening here and there, but we could do so much more if we could implement this in a system-wide way. So we need provider education, and there's a whole laundry list of things that community health centers could do better. The patient-centered medical home, as I mentioned, is a really holistic approach, and that's currently being, there are some demo projects going on or slated to happen, and I think that this is a real opportunity with some of the provisions in the Affordable Care Act to turn those resources toward better management, identification management of patients with hepatitis B and C. I'm going to jump right to the fact that many of you know that under the Healthcare Reform Act, the community health centers are going to receive a lot more money. They're going to get money to expand services and to potentially develop training and better care models for specific populations. And there are a huge number of people who are chronically infected with hepatitis B and C who are currently being seen in those health centers, but they haven't been identified and the providers haven't been trained. And so we need to work really hard and continue to push with people at HRSA, at community health centers, leadership, you know, within community health centers, they're run by the community. And so to identify that hepatitis B and C are problematic in that community and make it a priority for the individual community health center that you may be able to work with. Thus far, unlike with HIV, where we can get people into care, there has been no national healthcare initiative, despite the fact that we have roughly 5 times more people with chronic hepatitis B and C. There's been no effort to provide healthcare for those individuals. And the increases in chronic community health center funding can improve the healthcare access and quality for those patients. So we do, we have the opportunity now with the Institute of Medicine report, with the increase in awareness about what needs to be done at the federal level, we have the opportunity to develop a much needed cost-saving, life-saving prevention and treatment program in community health centers. I wanted to share some resources that include materials for clinicians as well as for patients. There's a lot of information at all of these, and these slides are available to download from the APHA meeting website. And there's my contact information. I would love to talk with any of you after this or later when you have a chance. Thank you.